continuing this series on experiencing God that I started before I left. And each week, I'm just giving you a different key to how what you can do to experience more of the Holy Spirit. How many of you want that? How many of you want to experience God more? Yeah, me too, right? I mean, if you've experienced him once, you want to experience him more, most likely. And so he's that wonderful. And today, I'm going to give you another key. I talked about regular Bible reading. It's a huge one. I talked about that. Today, I'm going to talk about physically express praise to God. So everybody just do this with your hands, okay? Everybody say out loud, I love you, Jesus. Yes, okay, you can put your hands down now. Actually, there is something powerful. I want you to hear this. This is my main point. I'm going to say it in like two sentences, and then I'm going to talk about it over and over again for a while. Something powerful that happens in our heart when you physically, everybody say physically, when you physically let loose and express praise to God. There's lots of different ways to do that. We're going to read about some of them in the Bible. I'm going to just make this statement. Aggressive physical praise is a dynamic way to experience God. I just can't even tell you. I'm going to try, but I can't. It's so hard to even explain how important this one thing has been in my walk with Jesus since the moment I got saved and filled with the Holy Spirit all the way up to the present day. Physically expressing praise to God is a powerful way that I put myself right in the middle of that river, and I get myself caught up in a current, in a flow of the Holy Spirit, and then just ride that thing as far as it will take you. It's absolutely amazing, and I just want to read some scriptures. I'm going to read three different psalms, and as I read them, I want you to just circle the different ways that it mentions that you can physically express praise to God. That sound good? So you got a pen? You got your notes? Psalm 98. Shout to the Lord. There's one right there. I'm just helping you get started. Shout to the Lord, all the earth. Break out in praise and sing for joy. I love that. Break out in praise and sing for joy, all the earth. Think about that. What happens when the day comes, and it's coming, when every single person on the earth is full of the Holy Spirit in love with Jesus, and the Spirit moves over us, and we break out. To me, that's just like break out, like let loose and abandon yourself. Give yourself physically in every way. Give yourself to expressing praise and adoration to God. Break out. I love that word. Verse 5, sing your praise to the Lord with the harp and melodious song, with trumpets and the sound of the ram's horn. Make a joyful, notice how many times the word joy is used. Make a joyful symphony, I love that, before the Lord, the King. I think of that crowd. I don't even know if anybody made up that tune, but all of a sudden the crowd's just singing, they just kept singing that little tune over and over again. And it was the Spirit that inspired it. I don't even know if one of the worship leaders started us out in that, but it just caught. And everybody was just singing it. And it was just like I could just envision a crowd in the hand of the Lord and just like the winds of the Spirit blowing over the crowd. And we're just moving. It was the most awesome thing. But I think of a joyful symphony to the Lord. You know what a symphony is? A symphony is when a whole lot of instruments come together in harmony and in agreement. They're playing the same stuff that's in harmony with each other, and it sounds beautiful. It's like you could take the individual parts, and they sound beautiful, but you put them together, and it's something really, really special. And that's a picture of the body of Christ worshiping the Lord. Verse 7. Let the sea and everything in it shout his praise. Man, think about that. Think about our God. Have you seen the ocean? Have you seen the sea? It's humongous. Have you thought about how many sea creatures there are in the sea. And he's like, let the sea and everything in it shout his praise. Let the earth and all living things join in. Let the rivers clap their hands in glee. Let the hills sing out their songs of joy before the Lord, for he is coming to judge the earth. He will judge the world with justice and the nations with fairness. In Psalm 100, shout with joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. In other words, be happy about him, right? With gladness. Everybody say with gladness. When you're worshiping God, you're thinking about who he is. It brings gladness and joy to the heart. That's why these words are in here so much. I think worshiping the Lord with gladness, that includes laughter. That includes smiling. You know those ways to physically express praise to God? It includes laughter and smiling. It's just the gladness. It's the joy of the Lord. What do you do when you get happy? A smile comes on your face. You laugh, right? Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him singing with joy. Acknowledge that the Lord is God. He made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving. Go into his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good. There's so many things to praise God for in this one psalm. His unfailing love continues forever. Hello. And his faithfulness continues to each generation. You could take line by line and just spend 15 minutes worshiping Jesus out of this psalm. You just go right here. What do I praise God for? Lord, verse 3, I acknowledge that you, the Lord Jesus, you are God. I acknowledge that you are God. I praise you that you are the mighty God, the creator God. Thank you that you made me. Thank you that you made us and you made everything. I love that. Thank you that we are his. Thank you that I am yours. I belong to you. I'm part of your family. Thank you that we are your people. We are the sheep of your pasture. You care for us like a good shepherd. And then the Lord, you are good. Your unfailing love continues forever, on and on and on. Psalm 149. Praise the Lord. Sing to the Lord a new song. That's one of my, I really enjoy doing that. That's a great way to physically express praise to God. I do that a lot, actually. I sing songs that, you know, somebody wrote, but I just like make up my own songs regularly to the Lord. Sometimes I have something in my heart I want to say to him, but I can't think of a good song off the top of my head that says it the way I want to say it. So I just make up my own tune and sing it. Does that make sense? And I love doing that. I'm like, yeah, that's exactly what I wanted to say. And there's something about singing it. You put a tune to it, it catches the heart in a special way. It really does. And so I love to say my praise to God. I love you, I love you. But sometimes I just like to sing it, put a tune to it, and it takes it to another level. Sing his praises in the assembly of the faithful. O Israel, rejoice in your maker. O people of Jerusalem, exult in your king. Praise his name with dancing. Everybody say dancing. That's another way you physically express praise to God. Accompanied by tambourine and harp. Notice another way you can physically express praise to God is with instruments. Instruments is a way that we physically express praise to God. For the Lord delights in his people. That's a good thing to praise him about. He crowns the humble with victory. Let the faithful rejoice that he honors them. Let them sing for joy as they lie on their beds. You ever done that before? Have you ever just been lying there? It's happening. I did it last night. Just laying there falling asleep. In my heart, I'm just like, I love you. I love you. I love you. Sometimes you got to be careful because you get stirred up and keep you awake. It's kept me up before doing that. Let the praises of God be in their mouths and a sharp sword in their hands to execute vengeance on the nations and punishment on the peoples. To bind their kings with shackles and their leaders with iron chains to execute the judgment written against them. This is, I love this sentence, the glorious privilege of his faithful ones. Do you know that praising the Lord, the privilege of being able to physically express praise to God is a privilege that is given to us, his faithful ones. It's an honor to do that. I remember... Well, let me say this, and then I'm going to go into some stories. I'm going to just give you six different ways to express praise to God physically. And actually, there's probably more than this, but I just wrote six down. There's probably way more. Singing or speaking, number one. Sing. I encourage you to do all of these. Do all of these. Singing or speaking praises to God. Number two, lifting your hands. Lifting hands in the air. Just lifting hands in honor and reverence and worship and praise and surrender to God. Shouting to the Lord. Hallelujah! I love to shout to the Lord. Shouting is power. Isn't that right, Josh? Yes. Josh knows. No, it really is. I love to shout to God. Listen, you know what I've been praying? One of the prayers that's been on my heart for several years for our church that we've not really tapped into yet is that I said, God, would you put the shout of victory in the camp of the redeemed? Put the shout of victory in the camp of the redeemed. Listen, there is something about shouting. It comes from this place of faith that's going to erupt like a volcano on the inside. It's like you just have this confidence and this joy that God has won, that he's brought forth the victory, that he triumphs over everything. And it just, you shout his praises and you shout his victory. There are so many places in the Bible where it talks about shouting praises to God, shouting the victory of the Lord. And you know, not only after he's done something great, before he's done something great, but you already know he's about to do it. As you shout the victory of the Lord. Why? Because I have this promise. God says he's going to do this. And faith comes into your heart. How many of you had that happen? You already knew that the victory was going to happen right before it actually took place. But you just knew it. You've been praying. And all of a sudden, this spirit of faith kicks in. And it's like, boom. And you know, it's over. Yeah. I got it. And then you're just happy. Have you ever had that happen? Yeah, you're just doing that. And then all of a sudden, you know you have the victory, and you just shout the praise to God. And very soon after that, you see it happen right before your eyes, the very thing that you knew was going to happen. This is a huge thing, and I believe with all my heart, I'm going to speak this in faith. I'm speaking this prophetically. I believe that a time is coming in our church, praise is going to a whole new level, and a time is coming where the shout of victory is going to be so normal in our gatherings. The shout of victory is going to be so normal. The testimonies that are going to begin, we have some which are wonderful, but the number of testimonies, the profound testimonies of the victories of Jesus in the lives of people are going to become so normal, and we're going to erupt with praise. Our faith for miracles and for salvations is going to go through the roof, and the shout of victory is going to be in the camp. I believe there's going to be times where we're going to have extended periods of time where we're caught up in just shouting praises to God, like that 2 minutes in that stadium. I cut the video off after 2 minutes. It went on. It went on longer than that. And you know what? I was tired before the Spirit came in and that happened, but when the Spirit came in, I wasn't tired anymore. It ended at 10. I could have kept going because my spirit was alive with the presence of the Lord. I'm like, let's go, man. Let's keep praising. The next day, we get up in the car. We're driving. Our family went to the beach last Sunday, and on the way to the beach, there was leftovers of the presence. We just put in worship music in the car, and the whole family in the car, we just instantly, our spirits caught back into that place where we were the night before. And it was like there was this breakthrough. We were all just worshiping in the car. Jesus, Jesus, you make the darkness tremble. Your name is the light that the shadows can't deny. Your name cannot be overcome. Your name is alive, forever lifted high. Your name cannot be overcome. Then you got to shout this part. Jesus, Jesus. That's the proper way to do that song. Yeah, and we were just, the shouting is powerful. I really want to encourage you to shout to the Lord. And get with the Lord. You know, if you have to make sure everybody's out of the house and close the doors, I don't care. But just, eventually you won't care. But just, you know, if that's how you got to start, just do that. And just shout his praises. Shout his praises to God. There is something powerful, especially if you're feeling heavy, if you're feeling depressed, if you're feeling discouraged. In those moments, if you just shout the victory of the Lord and something happens, the spirit of heaviness just goes. It really does, because you're moving in faith when you're shouting the praises of God and shouting his victory even before it happens. So dancing is another way, number four on there. Dancing is powerful. I encourage every one of you to dance before Jesus. It is, it's one of my favorites. I love dancing before the Lord. I do it often. I dance before the Lord. I love to do it. I'll tell you more stories in a little bit. I'll just say this. Some of the most profound experiences I've ever had with God has been in the midst of dancing before him wildly. Everybody say wildly. Yeah, just wildly. That's the right way to dance. Wildly. You dance before him wildly in praise. It releases something on the inside. I'm telling you, it is power. It opens something up in the spirit inside of you.
I just had this on my heart. Winter, before she got married, she was in Ukraine. And the second time she went to Ukraine, it was extremely terrible, like trying time, I should say, really trying. And anyway, and there was a moment, you have a testimony, there was a moment where you were on the verge of quitting. Mm-hmm. And things were so bad. She was there alone. Things were so oppressive. And literally, she's on the phone with her mom and her mama. Mama Bear rises up. I'm buying you a ticket. You're coming home. We're getting you out of there. And what happened, because there was a way that the Lord brought you into victory.
Okay, yeah, that's right.
Yeah, okay. So, and so, can you remember that?
Yeah, I do remember.
Okay,
it,
tell me
yeah.
about it.
So my mom was like, hey, I'll get you a plane ticket home. And at that point, I was like just looking for a way out because it was so hard and difficult and just being in a foreign country. There's just spiritual warfare there. And as soon as she said, there's a way out, I was like, no, I'm staying. And so I started like worshiping and like shouting Jesus and just like proclaiming truth over my life. And then it was over from that point on. It broke over my life. And I was like, that was my purpose for being there. Yeah.
And I remember coming back and saying, sometimes you just have to scream the name Jesus over and over and over and over and over and over and over. And I have been in that place before where you felt so much oppression. And I'm like, Jesus! I'm like, I don't really care. It doesn't have to look pretty right now. I'm going for victory. And that's what happened for Winter. And she finished out her missionary term in Ukraine in victory. Yes. Went from oppression to solid victory with the shout of the Lord. That broke the demonic oppression over her. I don't know. That was just a cool story. I felt like.
Yeah, thanks for saying that. That's good. You know, you get a lion in a corner, and what is it going to do? It's going to roar, right? And then sometimes in spiritual warfare, and they feel like the devil has you in a corner, you just got to shout the praises of the Lord. That's the way we roar. Amen. We shout the victories and the promises of God, and he flees. Bowing before the Lord, number five, bowing before the Lord. Just getting on your knees, humbling yourself before him. The Bible tells us, bow before the Lord, many, many places. It's a way we physically express reverence and worship to God. Number six, speaking or singing in tongues. Speaking or singing in tongues. You know, in Acts chapter 2, it's like the whole room of people were speaking in other tongues and in other languages, and other people were there who understood what they were saying because they were supernaturally speaking the language that these foreigners had spoke who were watching. And they were like, wow, we hear them declaring the wonders or the praises of God in these other languages. And there's something powerful about singing in the spirit, singing in other tongues, speaking in other tongues is an awesome way to worship God. And then, yeah, so I could go on. There's more. But physically express praise to God. So I just want to tell you some stories. This has been a huge key to experiencing God in my life since the beginning, honestly, for 25 years now, over 25 years. I got saved in the first. Now, I should say this. I was raised in a church that physically expressing praise to God and spiritual gifts like that was I just didn't see it very much. It was very rare. They had song services where they would sing songs to God, but I hardly have any memory. Actually, I don't have any memory of seeing anybody lift their hands to the Lord or bowing before the Lord or dancing before the Lord or any of these things. So I hadn't really seen that. But the day I got saved, I gave my life to Jesus, and I remember I got filled with the Holy Spirit. I shared that story a few weeks ago. And as I'm experiencing God getting filled with the Holy Spirit, I go back and forth, and then I lift my hands in the air. And I remember lifting my hands, and that this was like such a new thing. I'd never done that in my entire life, ever. In church services I'd been in, I'd never done this. But I was like, wow, I'm like radical now. And I'm like, my hands are in the air. I'm like, wow. And so, but I was experiencing God. I was just doing that, singing in tongues. Then I'd sing in English, and I just had my hands in the air. I'm like, this is powerful. I remember 4 days go by, and it's Sunday morning, and now I'm coming to that church service again, and I'm so excited. And I'm like, oh, I get to go to church again. I hope I feel God the way I did the other night, because that was awesome. And I'm really excited to praise the Lord. And I get there. So I have this conflict on the inside of me, though. Because one part is like, I'm so excited to lift my hands and praise God and sing in tongues like I did the other night, because that was awesome. I want to do that again. But then this other part of me is like, man, everybody's looking at me in the whole crowd. And especially my mom. Because she wasn't with me the first night. And I'm like, man, my mom, she's going to think I'm like weird, you know, because she's never seen me do this and we've never really done this in my house. But I'm like, so I'm kind of like, man, she's going to think I'm weird. But I've already made up my mind. I don't care what they think. I want to go for that one experience that I had the other night. And so I just put my hands up. And while my hands are up singing to the Lord, it's weird. I have this dual experience going on. I'm feeling the presence of God again and just loving it and worshiping Jesus. And then at the same time, I'm thinking, my mom's probably, I wonder what my mom's thinking. I wonder what my mom's thinking. This is all going on at the same time. Have you ever had that happen before? And it's like, I had this almost thought, like this is exaggerated, but like the whole room is stopping and just looking at, oh, Jeff has his hands in the air. They weren't doing that, but just in my head, it felt that way. Just share that in case you can relate to that. But I didn't care. I'm like, you know what? I want God, and I'm going to worship. And I'm putting my hands in the air, and I'm singing. This is what I know. I learned this 4 days ago, right? So I'm going to do this again. And I remembered I would just look forward to church services. And to me, I would look forward to the singing part of the worship service, because I'm like, I'm going to go after God. You know, I went years to church before I knew Jesus, before I was filled with the Holy Spirit, and I was bored like crazy during the service, especially during the singing. I'm like, I didn't want to sing the songs because I didn't know the Lord. But when the Spirit of God came into me, I wanted to praise the Lord. I wanted to worship the Lord. I look forward to that. And I was like, man, this isn't just like a get through the song singing so I can hear the word. I'm like, I'm not just get through the song singing. I'm going to encounter God right now. I'm going to give him some praise. I'm going to give him some worship. I want to encourage you this. Don't throw away the worship times on a Sunday morning service or on a Friday night. Don't just take those for granted. Do you know we spend, if we spend about, let's say, 30 minutes every single week, there's 52 weeks in a year. That's like 26 hours over the course of a year. If you'll engage, now you could have 26 hours of sitting there listening to other people sing and letting your mind wander, or you could have 26 hours in the course of a year of praising the Lord and connecting and experiencing the Holy Spirit. You guys with me? It's what you do with that 30 minutes. I mean, you can have life-changing encounter with God in that 30 minutes, or you can let your mind wander and just let it go by you. You guys with me? I want to encourage you, take advantage of your moments to worship God. And I remember I would just do that. I would enjoy the Lord. And then I discovered, I'm like, this works not only in church services, it works everywhere I go. And so I remember driving in my car, distinctly driving in my car, and I'd be listening to songs and on whatever. And as I'm listening to the songs, then I just had this thought, I'm like, oh, I just feel like worshiping God again. So I turn it off the music and I'm driving. I probably put my hands in the air, but only one. I still do that. And And I just start doing it again. I start singing in tongues and I start worshiping Jesus and singing the worship songs that I knew. And you know what I found out? I would do that in the car, and when I'd worship, his presence would come and fill me. And I'm like, just the same as in church. I'm like, this works everywhere. He's with me. Amen. Then I went to, like 3 years later, I went to Brownsville Assembly of God. It was a revival where hundreds of thousands of people got saved in about a 5 or 6 year period from all over the world. I've told you the stories about this place before, but here's one of the things from the Brownsville revival that I picked up. I had danced before the Lord a little bit before that on special occasions. If the worship team was especially good on a Sunday morning, or they played that one song, I'd dance before the Lord. You know, I'd done that a few times and enjoyed it. Or at a youth camp when everybody's all hyped up, I'd dance before the Lord. But it was sporadic in my life. It wasn't a very normal thing. And when I experienced the Lord at Brownsville, I began to experience the power regularly of dancing before the Lord in worship and in praise. And I would come home. We were newlyweds. We were brand, like right after our honeymoon, we went down there. So we were married about a month or two. And I remember that first year or two, especially when we were married, we had no television. We had no, I don't even know if they had internet back then, but we didn't have it if they did. We didn't have a computer. It was just, all I had was this little CD tape player. And what I'd do for entertainment was listen to sermon tapes and listen to worship songs, because I had a few worship CDs. And I would do this. This was so normal. Autumn and I did this together. I would just put in these worship CDs, and all over my living room, I'd just dance all over my living room like a wild man. I'd just dance before the Lord all over my living room, and I'd just feel his presence when I did it, and I'd feel faith, and I'd feel victory, and I'd have encounters. I'd have visions. The Lord would speak to me. Just dancing all over my living room before the Lord. I did that regularly. And then we went to chapel service at Bible college. There were probably 1,000 students or so at our Bible college. And we, every single day, 5 days a week, we had chapel services. It was a one-hour chapel service that we were required to attend. Like, you get in trouble if you miss too much. And so a lot of times, you know, I went there. And this is a Bible college setting. So it's... I'll just say it this way. I always made sure to get an aisle seat because I really wanted to dance before the Lord, and I needed to have knee space. You guys with me on that one? And that's why I love aisle seats. I love the front because I got all the pacing room I need. I can dance before the Lord. But I would do that almost every single chapel service for the next 3 years. I would dance before the Lord. And you know what I felt like? I felt like I was standing out like a sore thumb when I would dance before the Lord, especially when I first did it in chapel service. Because there's something about many Bible college environments, seminary-type environments, sometimes they're not very spiritual environments. They're very intellectual, and sometimes they can be, people can be pretty critical of any... demonstrative expression of passion for Jesus. Not all of them are that way, but it was kind of that way a little bit at where we were at. I'll just leave it at that. So I remember when I first started dancing before the Lord in a chapel service, I'd be thinking that same feeling. I'm like, everybody's looking at me. Like, everybody's looking at me. And you know what? Honestly, they might have been in this case. They really actually might have. And my guess is I am pretty certain people were probably talking about me because it happened every time. And it was just, I could have helped it. I didn't want to help it. I just felt such joy. We'd sing those old hymns, and I'd be like, I'm sorry, I got to dance, man. These are powerful. The blood of Jesus. You know, I'm like, yes. And I just start dancing, and I loved it. And I was just like, I don't care. I don't care what people think. I'm doing this for the Lord. I'm doing this because I'm happy about God. I'm worshiping the Lord with gladness. It's in the Bible. I'm legal. You can leave me alone. And so I would just worship the Lord. I'd praise him, and I'd encounter God and encounter God and encounter God. And during that season of life, dancing became this very, not just, every once in a while when it got really good thing that I do. It became like this normal part of my worship. And something I began to cherish so much. I remember, I've had this thought so many times where I'm dancing before the Lord. And some of you, you may have had this too. I'm just dancing before the Lord and I feel his presence so strongly. And I've had this thought so many times. I'd be like, God, thank you for my legs. I'm like, I can imagine what it would be like if I was ever unable to walk and I couldn't dance before you like this. I'm just like, it would, I mean, honestly, there was almost a sadness in my heart thinking about what would ever happen if I didn't have my legs and I couldn't dance. I love to dance before the Lord. And I'm like, God, thank you so much for my legs and my health. And praise God, I'm 43 and I can still dance before the Lord. And I pray that God would give me grace in my health that until my dying day, that I would have the ability to dance before the Lord because it's so precious and it's so valuable. So dance, 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 dance. I encourage every one of you, take this list home and go do it. Put it into practice. You know, if you got to get alone in a room, do it. If you're like, everybody's going to look at me, shut your door. That's fine. And do it, but start doing it because there is something profound that you experience when you physically, aggressively, physically begin to praise the Lord, express praise to God. I'm just going to make this state this principle. Praise is actually a natural part of the Spirit-filled life. It's a totally normal part of the Spirit-filled life. Ephesians 5, 18 through 19. Actually, I'm going to share a story, and then I'll read this scripture. So a few weeks ago, you guys, guy, he came to church. He was here a few weeks ago. He's working today. Got to lead him to Jesus. I did. He lives here in town. I got to lead him to Jesus. And when I first met him, he was like watching really dark things. He was playing these really dark video games. This is him telling me this. This is what he told me. Because right away, we're talking about following Jesus and repentance. And I'm like, so what are some things that you would need to do if you were going to obey Jesus? And he's like, well, I watch dark stuff. I'd have to probably stop watching that and playing this. I'm like, that's good, yeah. And then we go on and... As we've met for several weeks, and there was this joy that just began to increase in his countenance when I'd see him. And finally, one day, he was so happy one day. I'm like, so I always usually start, like, tell me a couple things God's done since the last time I saw you in your life. And he's like, well, and he's like, I haven't told you this. He says, I haven't told you this yet, but he says, I was smoking weed when I first met you. And he goes, now I've gone over a week. I haven't smoked weed in over a week. Now it's been probably 3 to 4 weeks that he hasn't smoked weed. And then he says this, and then he goes, and he's watching these, like the Gospel of John on YouTube. You know, he's like finding Bible things to watch. And this is what he said. And he says, and I used to write songs, like really bad songs. He goes, but I started to write a song of worship to God. I was like, what? No, I had not told him any of that. I didn't told him. We hadn't even got there yet, you know what I mean, at all. But I'm like, I want to hear it. And so he read the first verse, you know. He's like, it wasn't a whole song yet. It was just a verse. But it was in Spanish. I'm like, just sing it, and then you can tell me what it means. So he sang it. I'm like, awesome. And then when he's done, he told me what it means. And it was something like, you know, my Lord, I love you. My God, I love you. You have cleansed my heart, or something like that. It was beautiful. It was this awesome expression of thanksgiving to God. And I'm like, that's amazing. I'm like, dude, I told him, I said, and then I read him this verse. I said, do you know what's happening? I was like, you don't even realize it, but you're living a Spirit-filled life. I said, because actually those songs of praise to God, those spontaneous songs of praise to God, is normal part of being filled with the Holy Spirit. And I read in Ephesians 5, 18 through 19, it says, listen to this, don't be drunk with wine. Or you could say in his case, don't be high on weed. Because that will ruin your life. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. Listen, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs among yourselves, making music in your hearts to the Lord. Like, that's a natural part of the Spirit-filled life. When the Holy Spirit is filling you, there's going to be melodies in your heart. Do you guys, raise your hand if you have that happen to you. All of a sudden, you just, like, these melodies come into your heart. And listen, if you'll follow that, That's the Holy Spirit going like this, and he's leading you down a trail to a delight in God. He really is. And if you'll follow that melody and start humming it or singing it, it'd take you somewhere in the Lord. That'd be really, really awesome. So I'm like, man, you're living a Spirit-filled life, man. You got righteousness popping out all over you now. Sin is falling off of you. Worship is erupting from within you. I'm like, you're, and he's like a soul winner. He's like preaching the gospel to his friends, and he's got this burden for them to get saved. He's amazing. I'm so proud of him. But praise is a natural part of the Spirit-filled life. It really, really is. And I'll just leave it at that. I'm going to go into the next thing. I'm just going to state this principle and I'll end with this, but praise is an act of your will. Praise is an act of your will. It's not an emotion only. It's an act of your will. You don't have to feel anything at first, but you likely will before you finish. Here's why this is important. Sometimes we think, like a lot of these physical expressions the Bible tells us about of praise to God, we think like those are things that only happen when like the Spirit comes and he takes over our physical body and we get caught up and we lose control and all of a sudden we're doing these awesome things like, wow, that was a sweet move. Did you see that dance? I'm shouting awesome things. It's like, it's an act of your will. It's an act of your will. I'll share this acute Chad story. I didn't get permission. I hope this is okay. I love this story. It's from Chad when he was in our youth group, and he was like, I don't know, 15 or whatever. And we had a wild youth group, like in terms of praising God, because our church was that way. It was just like pretty much everybody was dancing all the time. And we actually met at first, our youth group, when we first met, we met in a little room that was about half the size of this room. It was a lot like this room, actually, but it was about half the size. And we would dance like crazy. I mean, 15 of us or however many were in there, we'd be dancing so hard. We worshiped a long time. And we'd be dancing so hard all over the place by the time, because we had a wall of windows like this, too, in that room. It's very similar to this room. Literally, this happened so many times. By the time worship ended, the windows were steamed up. Because of the sweat in the room, because 15 young people and me and Autumn dancing all over the place, just like wild people caught up in the presence of the Lord. We're just dancing before the Lord, and the windows would get all steamed up. It would be so hot and sweaty in there. We'd be just sweating like crazy, but it was glorious. It was awesome, and we just encountered the Lord. Well, we were in a prayer meeting one time before youth service, and I remember Chad, he's athletic. Like, Chad is seriously athletic. Like, he can do some sweet stuff that I can't do. And he's a teenager then, so he's even more athletic then. He could just, like, limber. He can go all over. And we would both, like, so we'd have times both of us would be just spinning and just dancing crazy all over the room. Do you remember that one all-night prayer meeting we did? You remember? And it was awesome. There was this like sweet song set that came on. We were dancing all over the room. It was awesome. But anyway, we're in this prayer meeting, and Chad's just dancing before the Lord. And while he's dancing, I don't know if you remember this, you hit a wall. Do you remember that? He ran into a wall when he was dancing. And then, because he has eyes closed, I think, or something like that. And he was probably dizzy by that point from spinning. Hallelujah. So he hits a wall, and then he's just kind of quiet after that, and he was just talking to us, because he's always had this most pure, sincere, honest heart. And he's like, man, he's like, I think I must not have been dancing in the Spirit. I must have been dancing in the flesh, because if I would have been in the Spirit, I wouldn't have hit that wall. That, right? It was something like that. Do you remember this conversation? And he shares that with me, and I'm like, oh my goodness, he has the most beautiful heart. It's like he just wants to be so honest and real before the Lord. And we're like, no, dude, it doesn't work that way. Like, you were dancing before the Lord as an act of your will. And it's not like the Spirit comes and takes you over and you lose control. I do believe sometimes in the midst of that, though, the Spirit can come on you and anoint you in dancing or shouting or singing. and you're able to kind of have a stamina that you don't normally have, so to speak. That I think is true. But we were just explaining to him, we're like, no, it's you weren't in the flesh. You were engaging your body and worshiping the Lord. That's biblical, man. It's totally good. And then he ended up being fine after that, and he's still a good dancer before the Lord, and still athletic, and still has a pure heart of worship. This is awesome. It's hard to do with a guitar. That's true. Yeah, it is tough. I've tried. So I just want to, it's so important that we understand that praise is an act of our will. It's not like you just have to wait, and when you really feel it, I'm going to shout. You can will yourself to shout to the Lord at any moment. You can will yourself to bow before the Lord at any moment. You can will yourself to put your hands in the air and surrender and express praise to God. You can will yourself. Just start dancing. You know, just I dance to slow songs. You know, even when the rhythm isn't that good, I just make up my own rhythm in my head and just go for it because I'm doing it before the Lord. And it's an act of your will. I heard somebody say this, actually, Pastor John Arnott from the Toronto Airport Christian Fellowship, amazing church. It's my wife and I, our lives were changed at this place. And in a revival that happened there that's affected the whole world. I mean, seriously, millions and millions of souls have been saved from the fruit of that revival, from that church. And we went there, and Pastor John Arnott, I read this in his book. I thought it was so good. He said, a lot of times at the beginning of a worship service, you know, you're going to worship the Lord, and it, you know, some you're out of it sometimes, and your mind is kind of distracted when you first come in, and you just kind of like by faith, you put your hands up, you start singing the song, and you're trying to engage and focus your mind on what you're singing, right? You guys with me? And he says, and it feels like it's about like 10% Holy Spirit and 90% you. But somewhere in the midst of that worship set, a transition happens. And by the end, it feels like it's 90% Holy Spirit and 10% you. Does that make sense? It's like you've worshiped yourself into a current, into a flow of the Spirit. You know, sometimes if you got a river flowing by and you're on the edge, on the banks, the current's not that strong on the edge, but you kind of have to, by an act of your will, you wade out into the current. But the deeper you get, that current just takes you. You following me? And it's kind of like that when you're worshiping the Lord or in praise. I want to encourage you to avoid these fears, because these fears will cripple your praise, okay? The fear of criticism. The fear, and it's everybody probably deals with it. I deal with it. But you have to learn to ignore it and press through it. I'm not going to let the fear of so-and-so is going to think I'm weird. So-and-so is not going to understand what I'm doing. I'm just like, I'm not doing it for so-and-so. I'm doing it for Jesus. He doesn't think I'm weird. He totally understands what I'm doing and why I'm doing it, and he likes it. So if it puts a smile on his face, I'm going to keep doing it. So avoid the fear of criticism, the fear of looking silly or looking foolish. You know, it's so common in our culture. This is such a stronghold. Is we just want to look cool. And adults do too. It's not just, you know, we think, oh, teenagers, they always want to look cool, right? I don't want to look not cool in front of my friends. But adults are the same way. Their definition of cool looks is different than a teenager's definition of cool, but they want to look like I'm in control. I'm respectable. I'm dignified. I'm wise. I have everything together. You guys with me? That's how what adults do to look think cool is looking like. But it's like, you know what? Become a kid again and dance before Jesus like a little boy, a little girl, and love your Father in heaven because that's what he likes. It really is what he likes. You know, I think of the story of David in 2 Samuel chapter 6 where he's bringing the Ark of God's presence into Jerusalem and he's dancing wildly before the Lord. And then his wife is like ticked off at him. She's like, "What are you doing? Looking like a fool, undignified in front of you're the king, David. Pull yourself together, man. Like, you know, put on the pomp and circumstance. You look like a king, you know, you act presidential, whatever it is." And he's like, he just looks at her and he says, "Listen, I was dancing before the Lord." He's like, I'll get way more undignified than this. I love that statement. He's like, I'll go so much. You've seen nothing yet. I'll get so much more undignified than this because this is about me and the Father and about me expressing praise to him. It's like before you, ever, all these people, I'm a king. But before him, I'm just David. You guys with me? I'm just David. And I'm just his little boy. I'm the guy he rescued and saved. And he found me in a sheep pasture and blessed me beyond what I deserve. And I was doing this and he liked it in the sheep pasture. And I'm going to do it now while I'm king. This is why he likes me. You guys following me? And we just need to get that childlike faith and let loose and just be like, who cares what people think? Don't worry about looking foolish. That's actually called the fear of man. That's really what it is. That's the not nice way to say it, but it is the truth. It's the fear of man. And fear of man, the Bible says, it will prove to be a snare every single time. I promise you, if you allow fear of man to remain in your life in any way, it will trip you up in that area of your life. It will snare you and hinder you in that area of your life. So we got to wage war against the fear of man. So that's why I was like, man, I think everybody's looking at me. I'm like, doesn't matter. I'm doing this for Jesus. Right? And here's another fear sometimes that can keep you from expressing your praise to God is the fear of like, this happens to people who they have especially pure hearts and they really do want to draw attention to Jesus and not themselves. But sometimes I've had this many times. I'm like, man, if I do this, it's like I'm going to distract everybody from worshiping Jesus or people are going to think that I'm trying to draw attention to myself and make myself look hyper spiritual. Have you ever felt that before? But you know what? That's not the Holy Spirit. Obviously, that does happen. I'll say that. that I've seen that before. Where people are doing it to draw attention to themselves. And but those are just heart issues that need to get healed up, to be honest with you. You know, we're trying to get our affirmation from people rather than from him. And so just know if you catch yourself like, man, I'm kind of doing this to get attention, then it's like, okay, you know what? Forgive me, Lord. I don't want to do this to get attention. Wrong motive. Get your heart connected in the right way and then keep expressing praise to God. You guys with me? But just fix the heart issue, but don't stop doing what the Bible says and physically expressing your praise to God. Keep doing what the Bible says. You guys with me? I remember one time I was leading worship. A long time ago when we were downtown and I was leading worship and I was like, there was, I think somebody there that day, somebody visiting that I really like thought highly about their opinion. And I was like, I was wrestling the motives of my heart as I was leading worship. I was struggling with my motives because part of me wanted to put on a show to impress the person who was visiting. But then the other part of me hated that and didn't want any part of that, just wanted to worship God and forget about it all and let loose and just do what I normally do like it was just me and him. And so I was kind of torn. And I remember I just, I kind of just held back and I didn't really let myself go because I was afraid to do it for the wrong reasons during that worship set. And I think it was later on I was talking to Autumn and I was just sharing with her my struggle. And she was like, she gave me great advice. She was like, well, fix your heart, get your heart, just say, God, forget that, I repent, I'm doing this for the right reason. She goes, but don't hold back, because use your gift and release the presence of the Lord into the room, you know, and deal with the wrong motive, but don't hold back, let it go. You guys with me? And I thought, man, that's great advice, and that's helped me since then as well. So that's good. So why don't you guys stand with me? I want to give you a challenge. I want to give you a challenge for the next 40 days. For the next 40 days, take 15 minutes a day and physically express praise to God. And just say, I'm going to do what the Bible says. I'm going to put this into my life. I promise you, you're going to start experiencing the Holy Spirit a different dynamic in your experience with the Holy Spirit is going to be released in your life. That's going to be powerful. as you do this. And so I encourage you to do it. Just get with the Lord. You can turn on, you know, YouTube, look up Upper Room Worship. How many? Upper Room is fantastic. Just put on an Upper Room Worship set and just get caught up in singing and worshiping and dancing and bowing and lifting your hands and singing in tongues. And just do that for at least 15 minutes a day for the next 40 days. Let it become a habit in your life, because I think something's going to break loose inside of you and you're not going to stop at 40 days. It's going to become a normal part of your walk with the Lord, and you're welcome. So let's pray. Lord, I just want to say thank you. Thank you for the privilege of being able to physically express praise to you. I mean, what a horrible thing it would be to have a heart that's erupting with joyful thanksgiving and not be able to express it and just to be stifled on the inside. But Lord, you've given us hands to wave and lift up. You've given a voice that sings. You've given us a voice that shouts. You've given us feet that move. God, thank you so much. You've given us knees that bend. And Lord, you've given us like these instruments to play to physically express the overflow of our heart. We love you. And I just pray for a release in my own life, in our church, in a fresh way, even in these next 40 days, that there would just be a release of a deeper experience with the Holy Spirit through physically expressing our praise to God. And I just thank you for releasing that anointing right now. And again, I pray what I said earlier. God, I ask that you would release the shout of victory in the camp of the redeemed. Release the shout of victory in the camp of the redeemed. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. Awesome. Well, I love you guys. Have a good week, and we'll see you next Sunday.